Like, if you're boycotting the Lord and not having that dialogue with him, then I would just encourage you. I would exhort you to, just kill your pride for a moment and have that moment, that one-on-one conversation with the Lord where you bring your anger to him and just wait and see what he says, see what he does, and allow him to be the healer and renew these wounds that you have in a way that only he can.
Are you looking for a comfortable brown scapular that won't break? Check out our sponsor, scapulars.com. They use American-made paracord, so it's super strong. And they also use Australian merino wool, so it's super comfortable. It feels like you're getting a warm hug from your heavenly mother. Click on the link above or below in the description and get yourself the most durable, comfortable scapulars in the world. Hey, thanks for joining us today on our Reason for Hope. I just found out the other day from one of our producers that, you know, more than half the people that watch this show, this podcast, do not subscribe to us. This is insane. I mean, what are you waiting for? Hit the subscribe button now. All right, back to the show.
Hi, hello, and welcome to the Reason for Hope podcast. My name is Matt Panna, one of the characters in the Array of Hope universe at this point. I'm here again with Alanis to talk about a really, I would say, a pretty heavy topic.
It is.
Church hurt. So how do you feel about the topic? Yeah. Heavy one.
Yeah. No, you're right. It is heavy. It's one that I definitely want to approach with gentleness, with a sense of empathy. There are so many people in our church who have experienced that. Some people who don't even associate with the church anymore because of the pain that they've experienced. Through our mistakes. And so it does require a sense of ownness, of course. It also makes me beg the question, like, is it church hurt? Is it people hurt? And so I'm excited to just dialogue about it.
Right. It's going to be a very vulnerable space to talk about. And we don't want to assume or make caricatures of people's experiences, but we want to have a real conversation about what actually church hurt is, right? So I would say when I hear church hurt, just for my own perceptions of church hurt, right? I don't want my wounds to become false idols. Like, we all have wounds. We're all broken people. We live in a broken society, right? But a part of it for me is I don't want my wounds, whether it be from either priests or religious or communities, I don't want that to just be like a caricature of how I see the church at large, right? So I want to, as a Catholic, as someone who reverted about 5 to 6 years ago at this point, I want to give due justice and prudence to the church. But how do I do that when we're all broken people? We all suffer through these church hurt, right?
Yeah.
So how would you, what comes to mind for you when you think of church hurt?
Well, definitely examples that I've heard from the past. I think what initially comes to mind is just this idea that our perception of heaven, of God, of actually of everything, it's really, it comes from our experience on earth. That's all that we have to compare it to. And so a lot of times these things can translate the way that, for instance, you know, if we had a negative relationship or a poor relationship with our father, that can be translated into the way that we view our heavenly father. And the same thing can happen when we have these relationships with flawed people, whether it's in the church, outside the church. A lot of times we can correlate that to the heavenly realm. And so, like, instinctively what happens is I'm just drawn to that verse in somewhere in the Bible where it says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And I feel like it is so backwards to human instinct because all we have to live off of are these experiences that are right in front of us. And so I empathize, I feel for the people who have been wounded and hurt. And I've never experienced it myself. So I feel like there's a little bit of a disconnect. I kind of wish we were even having this conversation. You know, someone in our office was just saying how she didn't go to confession for a year.
Because of a certain individual,
right,
in a church, right?
Yeah, because she had a poor experience with a priest. And
by the grace of God, I think it's really good that you've experienced a lot of goodness from the church. There's a reason why you're here.
Glory
with a ray
God.
Of hope. And then you speak at these events. I think there's a lot of beauty in that for sure, that you've encountered such richness and beauty from the church. I love about one thing. I think it was Matthew Kelly that says the beauty and genius of the faith is what kind of attracts people into the church. And that's what got me back into the fold, because I mentioned my reversion a while back.
Yeah.
Because a lot of my experiences in Catholic school, and these are just the typical, like, oh, I went to Catholic school, so I know everything. It's not really that, but it's more so like I experienced a lot of things where there was pastors or youth ministers or even priests, clergy, sisters, religious, that maybe weren't the most friendly or most warm. But is that my caricature of the entire church at large? Like, that's something we have to really wrestle with and think about. And what brought me back to the church, obviously, was things like apologetics and great people and community. But one thing that really helped me was just good and faithful priests that were like closer to my age, at my level, could actually talk to me about really relevant things. I mentioned Father Zach on the podcast in the past. I mentioned Father Frank Fano, who went to OLM. We talked about OLM recently to Our Lady of Mount Carmel here in Jersey. Some really great priests that kind of brought me back into the fold, where a lot of my misconceptions of priests and religious from my Catholic school days that were not the best stereotypes of religious, meeting good men and good religious women of the faith, help me at least bring me back into the fold slowly in my own time and God's timing, ultimately.
Yeah. I'm also so happy you've had a good experience. Have you heard of anyone, you know, close to you in your personal circle that's experienced, you know, the opposite story?
Yeah, there was I think he would have some liberty of me sharing this. I'm not going to mention his name, but he posted on social media about his experience in seminary. A friend of mine who pursued religious life, or at least that aspect of that life in that season, at the time had mental health issues. And I would say maybe 5 or 6 years ago, or way back when maybe mental health wasn't as integrated, that conversation wasn't as integrated in the seminary life, maybe in this specific order or community. And he tried to bring up his issues and ailments with mental health to the community, and oftentimes in typical maybe old guard fashion, or maybe different generations here, where, oh, it's okay, just kind of like, don't worry about it, don't acknowledge it, kind of keep it under wraps and don't ever bring it up. And that affected his mental health a lot worse. And he kind of was scapegoated and wasn't really acknowledged or validated. And throughout that process, he discerned out of the priesthood, unfortunately, but he still remained Catholic. And I was like, how are you remaining Catholic after all this time?
Yeah.
So he actually posted about this, which really resonated with me as someone who's discerned the past as well. He was able to weigh his beautiful moments against the brokenness of people. So as someone who was a devout Catholic who wanted to pursue religious life because he wanted that relationship with the Lord, he was able to separate that from the brokenness he received from some leaders in that community. Also, he recognizes that the church's humanity oftentimes makes it ugly sometimes. You talk about a lot of brokenness. We as human beings are broken in this world. We bring a lot of that into the church because Christ instituted a church made of broken men and women. And how do we cope with that? How do we navigate that, right? And lastly, one thing he mentions too here, that the world and ultimately past traumas tell us a lot of things, like God is withholding things from you, punishing you, has more important things to worry about. But
ultimately,
these are the lies we talked about in the past, too, where is out of God. And the fact that he's able to cling to hope and cling to the goodness of God throughout this, obviously not the best discernment process, but he still remained Catholic. He's a faithful Catholic to this day. That to me really inspired me, because I was like, most people would have left by now. I know so many people, we know so many Catholics here in America that have had poor experiences of Catholic school, you know, upbringings, and they're, oh, I left the church. I don't go to church anymore because of this nun or this priest. But people that choose to stay, that's the real model of faithfulness that I hope to aspire to be as I grow older. Yeah.
Amen. There's this documentary on Netflix. It's called Keep Sweet, I believe, Pray and Obey. It's actually about a sect of Mormonism called the FLDS. So we talk about church, and it's not just connected to the Catholic Church, right? There's
church
so many. The fact that there was that schism, you know, and the great divorce.
Yeah.
There's just so many opportunities for hurt because there are so many denominations. And there's actually, so this FLDS church, they actually accept polygamy. And there were a lot of scandals, sexual scandals, unfortunately. Underage marriages. It's really horrifying, super tragic. But the reason why I bring this up is because in the documentary, it follows the testimonies of some people who were in that church. They were brought up in it from birth. I mean, they were, you know, instilled these doctrines.
It's all they've known their entire lives.
It's all they've known. And so it's all they were capable of believing. It was so easy for them to believe it, that when they finally found a way out, I just noticed this theme among them, that all of them were wearing like stones or like new age apparel. And I looked through their social media and a lot of them went that route.
The opposite of side like of the spectrum.
Nature,
yeah.
Right. And it opened my eyes to realize like there's so much hurt that I believe that we try to find a doctrine that goes against what we were told to believe, whether it was true or false, and something that's actually going to appeal to our flesh or appeal to our desires, right? That feels like it's like a feel good doctrine.
Yeah. When there's a betrayal, I think oftentimes when it comes to leaders in a church or community, these are very vulnerable spaces for us to be ourselves and to bring our sufferings and our sins and everything. And we feel betrayed in these spaces. We are tempted to overcorrect. A lot of people I know that left the Catholic Church have gone very mystical, like spiritual, because of a lot of this church hurt. But I, personally, for me, I don't want to speak for anybody else that's mm-hmm. suffered through these ailments or whatever, but I don't want to overcorrect to the point where I'm just rooted in my woundedness. I don't want to just live in my wounds forever and make every decision based on wounds. And I'm not trying to judge anybody. It's more of an observation, not a judgment here. But like, I want to live in a thriving space, an abundant space. And I feel like coming back to the church when I had my reversion a while back, I came because I wanted to. I wasn't basing my decisions off of fear or woundedness, but of glory and attraction again to the church. So I feel when people go the overcorrected way of spirituality and like, you know, stones and all these kind of things, like a lot of that's based in woundedness. A lot of, and not all, but a lot of atheists and even a lot of secular folks I meet, they leave a church or they have so much bad misconceptions about the church because of one priest or pastor or one community leader, and they're like, they're done with it. And how do we navigate? How do we traverse this? We have to acknowledge and these wounds are valid, but also do they stop there at just the wound alone?
Yeah.
There's healing that's involved ultimately.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Bishop Barron has this book. It's actually a response to the scandals in the Catholic Church. It's a tiny little book. They were giving it free in like so many parishes during that time. But something he mentions there is this Latin phrase, corruptio optimi pessima, which means corruption of the best is the worst, because the reality is there is a hierarchy of authority, and these priests, these bishops, they rank at the top, right? They're the best in terms of like this proverbial, you know,
the way you see them as holy.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And so a lot of times they're our only perception of Jesus, because they're the ones who are working in persona Christi. They're the ones who are administering the sacraments. And so we put them on this pedestal sometimes as Christ. And so when we see a downfall, again, just like that corruption of the best, it is the worst.
Well, it's interesting because we hinted at this a lot earlier with like Filipino and Hispanic culture, right? I don't know if you noticed this, but in the Philippines, I feel like priests are basically like the second coming of Christ,
yes.
And especially in these villages and
it
these tribes
happen.
And different islands. It's like, oh, the priest is the go-to for all holiness and he cannot do wrong. But one, I think that it's tough for a priest and a man to uphold that sense of duty and honor and that expectation for a lot of broken
burden.
People,
mm-hmm.
especially in third world countries, right? But also it's like, no, this man is, he's still in persona Christi, but the persona part is still real. He's still a person.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't know if you've noticed that in your own culture at all.
No, without a doubt. The church isn't perfect. And so there are flawed people in the church, not just the members of, you know, the priesthood, but also the laity. Like we're flawed as well. And so sometimes there can be a clashing with the people that we encounter. I know that there are a lot of people who don't want to be a part of the church because it's filled with hypocrites, right? We don't go for the hypocrites. We go for God himself.
The church is full of broken people, and there's a lot of brokenness, especially when we're vulnerable to these leaders and these communities, and we show up as our full authentic selves. And yeah, it's tough because as someone who's also faced a lot of betrayal and disappointment from a lot of church leaders, it did the wound hits different, right? We talk about that often. It hits different, right, in our world today. But ultimately, it's from a person, and it's not the church. Now, for people that have left the church or have these big wounds in regards to the church, how do you separate the wound from an individual and experience to the church, the grander church at large, the goodness of God's church at large?
Yeah. Well, when Jesus says, "On this rock, I will build my church," I think sometimes we forget the fact that he said, "I will build my church." It's still his church. Even when he handed the authority to Peter, who is a frail, sinful man, we see that all throughout scripture, just like the flaws of Peter over and over again, whether he denied Jesus or his pride came through. He believed that he was exempt from like betraying the Lord, and that just like points to his pride. I love it in The Chosen when they depict Peter, because I'm like,
the best. Yeah,
man,
yeah.
That's
it's a pretty
so
accurate
relatable.
The way I see Peter. And yeah. It's funny because to kind of go a little bit off here in terms of The Chosen, like my older brother, who I've mentioned a lot, who's been a big part of my formation as a Catholic man, as a Christian man, yeah. He reminds me so much about Peter. Like mm-hmm. He's just a strong-willed, passionate guy, mm-hmm. but he has to be protective and own these things. And sometimes we realize that sense of ownership and control is wounded in a place of hurt, whether it's someone right. who hurt us or anything else like that. How do we separate that woundedness and hurt, that response to betrayal, with a grander church at large?
Yeah, yeah. And it's so deeply human. Like there is so much humanity in it. And so that's where we start seeing the repercussions of our woundedness show up through, you know, friction, you know, someone else's wounds rubbing up against someone else's wounds. And it just like create sand, you know, like two rocks.
And residue, for sure.
Oh, two rocks on this rock, I will build my church. And sometimes the rigidness, it creates sand. But anyway, the authority given to Peter, it's delegated authority, meaning that Christ remains the head of the church and Peter is just like the steward of his power. And then that obviously is passed on from pope to pope to pope. They lay their hands and give it to the priests. But the holiness of the church doesn't come from the sinlessness of its leaders, but from Christ, who founded the church.
The origin of the church.
And he remains the head.
Hello, and thanks for being with us here on A Reason for Hope podcast. Been very grateful of the many years that we've been doing this for you. This is our sixth season with hundreds of podcasts already released. Although they're free to watch and listen to, they're not free to produce. So I'm asking that you discern to contributing and donate to A Reason for Hope podcast. We're a nonprofit organization. Every dollar, every penny is tax deductible. All you have to do is go to our website and click donation and navigate the podcast. All the funds that you donate will go to the production of this podcast. Thanks again, and may God bless you.
I love the emphasis on my. I never thought, I've heard that quote so much, especially my reversion to the faith of like, upon this rock, I will build my church. I always think about the rock and Peter and all these things, but it's my church. It's his church. When he says my, that's Christ's church. And it's the keys are passed down for a reason. They're not my keys. I got the, you know, when my dad got me my first car in high school, he gave me the keys because it was his car, right? You know, in that sense, there's that emphasis on laying down that authority and that ownership to somebody
that's
new.
Cool. Mm.
So that emphasis on, I never emphasized that one word, which kind of makes a whole new way of seeing the way the church is supposed to be. It's Christ's church. We're just the stewards of
that.
Yeah.
Yes. So good. How about you? How do you think is the best way to differentiate that?
I think for starters, you can't minimize people's pain. I think oftentimes, especially I would say maybe the older ways of approaching the faith and religion mm-hmm. and Christianity is like kind of pick yourself up by the bootstraps and be a man and don't really acknowledge these things. But we have to, one, acknowledge, not saying that every pain and every trauma and every trigger is like 100% right or wrong. We can't judge these things, but we can make observations and help these people. But knowing that, you know, there's validity in the not minimizing somebody's pain, because people bring up these pains, they have this for a reason. It comes from a place of hurt, right? So not to minimizing real pain, it's in itself is like the antithesis of real Christianity. A real Christianity is bringing your sufferings up to the Lord, offering up your sufferings, not minimizing suffering. So that's one thing I would say. Also, validating emotion and hurt is also a great way to start too. So I would say, like, when you, the whole adage of Christian circles, you know, you hear this statement all the time, you can't leave Peter because of Judas. I hear this all the time in like Christian podcasts and content creators. And there's like some nice zingy buzzwordy aspect to that. You can't leave Peter because of Judas. That sounds great and all, but also we have to realize we need to ask more of our leaders and our priests and our communities and our religious to be able to bring that light of Christ to these places, because the church hurt is a thing for a reason. It's embedded in people for honestly the very young age or a very old age, right? So it's acknowledging these wounds, not minimizing them at all, but also asking more from our communities and even ourselves. What are we bringing to the table? How are we being conduits of Christ in these moments for people?
All right. So we're talking about holding the actions of an individual against the church at large. But what happens when those who have been hurt by an individual of the church, they recognize, well, if Jesus is the head of the church, then he's the one who hurt me. Oof, and so instead of being angry at the church, they're angry at God.
Yeah, there's a lot of depth. I think first and foremost, we have to recognize that anger is just a natural human reaction to something. There's an injustice there. So I mentioned earlier about validating people's experiences. One thing that I brought to my spiritual director years ago, kind of going through a lot of betrayal in my own life, I was like, well, you know, I'm angry, but I can't be angry. I have to get over this. I have to see the goodness of God and all things. And my spiritual director was like, no, Matt, you could be angry at things. There's righteous anger for things. If you feel betrayed or slighted or anything, whether it's from the church at large or the church internally with your family or friends or anything like that, there is righteous anger. So first and foremost, don't subside that. Acknowledge it, that it could be a natural human reaction. And because with that brokenness and that healing that we need, that could lead to an acknowledgement that we need a savior, because we can't heal ourselves. The savior himself can heal us. And knowing that the church, God, as you mentioned, Christ entrusted his body to the church made of broken people. And we're talking about how much I love the apostle Paul to even King David, right? These broken people in scripture, God chose them for a reason to glorify his kingdom. And these weren't perfect people by any stretch of the imagination initially, especially going through their narratives in the Bible, right? But he chose them for a reason. We're chosen for a reason. Yeah. So acknowledging that as well. Yeah.
Right, right. The Lord isn't intimidated by anger.
No,
He's not intimidated at all. The amount of times I've sat before him with my frustrations and I've brought it to him. I think a lot of times we feel like we have to put up this facade when we encounter God, when we are in his presence. Mm. Like if you're boycotting the Lord and not having that dialogue with him, then I would just encourage you. I would exhort you to, just kill your pride for a moment and have that moment, that one-on-one conversation with the Lord where you bring your anger to him and just wait and see what he says, see what he does, and allow him to be the healer and renew these wounds that you have in a way that only he can.
Yeah, and allow him to clarify a lot of the way you see the world. Right. And what is of the world and what is of God? Another recurring theme in many of our discussions here on these episodes, right? How do we differentiate God and what God's doing, his actions, whether that be subtle, visible or invisible, or what the world is doing, right? I love this quote by Henry Nouwen, one of my favorite Christian Catholic writers, in terms of just like how we interact with the church and how we see things within our own daily lives. Henry says, I am the prodigal son every time I search for unconditional love where it cannot be found. I'm going to say that one more time. Henry Nouwen, I am the prodigal son every time I search for unconditional love where it cannot be found. But if you read his books, he struggles a lot. He's very honest and vulnerable with his spiritual struggles, especially as a priest, right? But oftentimes we look for unconditional love in places where we know it's not going to exist, whether it's like, you know, toxic friendships or maybe certain career aspirations that may not lead us toward God. So oftentimes we have to find ourselves in a place of knowing, where can I come back to, whether it's the church, whether it's community. Like when there is betrayal, there is also a yearning for healing in that to that degree, right? So where can we find that? I hope we find that within our discussion here, especially when you're talking about the church at large. So I love that quote from Henry Nouwen. I am the prodigal son every time I search for unconditional love in places where they shouldn't be, right? One thing that helps me oftentimes in meditation too as well is just meditating on Christ's humanity. Like he was fully human and fully divine. You know, he's both and. I'm the both and guy, right? But, you know, he's fully human, right? So recognizing that he went through what we went through as a model for how to suffer well. And the intricacies of suffering, you know, just the fingers on the cross and being nailed and just being spat on and everything that you hear in scripture, everything he went through, we can align ourselves as a model to kind of view suffering and pain and that church pain in that light. So to kind of segue into the next part of the conversation here, in terms of hurt, how could people that are hurt begin rebuilding that personal relationship with Christ? How do you, in your experience in church and community at large, how have you rebuilt that in your own personal life?
I am a firm believer in inner healing. I didn't even realize that was a thing that the church offered. But
neither did I.
As I get older, I'm just realizing so many of us carry this heavy weight of unresolved and unsettled, unprocessed wounds that we've all made agreements with, whether it was through childhood or just yesterday, right? Like these pacts that we make, these vows with our woundedness. And there's this process called inner healing. So Encounter School of Ministry, they train the students in this and they actually have inner healing sessions that you can just sign up for online. But another ministry I really love, this is just a practical, organization and ministry that you guys can use. It's called Unbound. So they have a book. It's by Neil Lozano. And they also have these sessions that are confidential one-on-one prayer sessions with a facilitator, usually a group of trained ministry team members. And it's basically just designed to help us find freedom, like full freedom, the weight that we're carrying. We ask the Holy Spirit to just bring back a memory of the first time we experienced this wound. Even if you're like struggling with lying, Lord, when was the first time I told a lie, right? Like, Lord, when was the first time I experienced church hurt? And he brings you back to this memory and you ask him questions like, where were you in this memory? What's the truth that you want to give me in replacement of this lie? Like, there's just so many little practicals that go along with it. And so the five keys that Unbound runs through is Christian freedom that's developed through the five keys, which are repentance and faith, forgiveness, renunciation of the lie, taking authority, and then receiving the Father's blessing. And so this really just, this facilitates like a deeper healing that we all really are made for.
You're getting in the weeds of it. It's very, and just to use a lot of Catholic terminology here, right? It's very Ignatian, but also very Lectio Divina. Getting into like the story of your own life and like imaginative prayer is very important in our spiritual lives. And being there, especially these stories that we kind of hide and repress and these core wounds maybe. I learned in therapy too that trauma, there's a reservoir that we all have for the trauma in our lives. And oftentimes it comes out, and whether we like it or not, in many different places. That could be anxiety attacks or being frustrated or, you know, outbursts, things like that. There's a reservoir we have of trauma. We have to be mindful of that. But going into those wounds and into those, the depths of that pain with the Lord is probably the most healthy spiritually to approach it.
Yeah, not being scared of it. Because I think a lot of us are just like,
you're not afraid.
As soon as these thoughts come up of our past, of memories that are unsettling, we're just like, oh my gosh, let's not think about it. Let's suppress it, suppress. But actually addressing it and coming it face to face with it with the Lord, not by yourself, because that's when it's traumatizing. That's where we find healing. But what about you? Do you have any pointers?
Yeah, I would say just first and foremost, the question that was originally asked, right, was how do we rebuild that relationship, right? When you think, I'm a very imaginative person. I mentioned Ignatian prayer and things like that. I'm very imaginative when I pray. So when I hear rebuilding relationships, I think of just actual construction and building of a house or an office building or whatever you may have going on, right? When you rebuild things, you have to take inventory of what's going on, what's left, the chaos, right? You know, that's left behind from a betrayal or something that was, that hurt you in the church. So taking inventory, gathering all those parts of your, of that situation and asking the Lord to rebuild that, find meaning in that, bring light to that. So taking inventory of that, collecting that so the Lord can seek healing for you, and also really finding that accountability within your own personal life. I mentioned so many times about therapy, for example, finding a Catholic therapist or Christian therapist, finding a Catholic or Christian mentor. Spiritual direction is something that I am a huge advocate for in these episodes, right? Having these people that could take these wounds and take these aspects of your spiritual inventory and bring them to Christ's light so you can actually process it spiritually and have a newfound respect and vision for the church.
Yeah. And another point of reflection is even meditating on the person who was hurt by church the most, and that was Jesus. He was bruised for our iniquities, crushed for our sins. By who? But none other than literally his, the church that he was a part of, right? The Pharisees. That's another point of meditation, imaginative prayer, is just asking that question or like bringing it to prayer, like, Lord, okay, you're not disconnected from my experience. You have experienced it and then some, and how can I find freedom in this place? How did you find freedom in this place, right?
I just feel like this topic is, it's one we can chew on. It's not the easiest topic to talk about. So I think one, I think a lot of courage for both of us to be in these vulnerable spaces to talk about church hurt. It's a big conversation to have. So trying to end on a maybe lighter note or more of a positive note. Now, what's the message of hope underlying all of this? How do we promote hope throughout the church hurt that we may experience or others may experience in the church?
Well, right off the bat, just like an apology, like, we're so sorry. We see you in your pain. We see you in the hurt. We acknowledge it as real. And just knowing that there is healing through forgiveness. A lot of times it takes that act of even forgiving those who have inflicted, even if you don't have an apology, right? Because ultimately you're holding on to that bitterness, which just festers into a deeper and deeper unresolved wound. Ugh, I'm the wound girl, apparently. And so just through knowing Jesus, there's so much freedom and healing. And there are so many leaders in the church who are doing a good job aligning themselves with scripture, with the word of God, who have the heart of the Father and are pouring that out to their children. I'm even just like addressing the camera right now to let you know that you should try again, right? You should trust the Lord. Try again. Trust me. Like, I really believe that the Lord will renew all of the pain that you've experienced.
Yeah, I would say what echoes with your sentiments is seek and ye shall find, knock and the door will be opened unto you, right? And if you really seek and crave community and reconciliation, not the confession sense of reconciliation, but just real reconciling with the church and your church hurt, is really seek that community. If you pray for that, you will find that. And I'll say with my reversion process too, is a lot of church hurt with past priests and religious in my own Catholic school days, right? Just meeting really great religious and whether it be sisters, priests, leaders that really shed a light on the goodness of the church. Mm-hmm. We talk about oftentimes service here in these conversations. I went on a Guatemalan mission trip about like 5 years ago. And during my kind of like evangelical / Catholic, trying to find myself kind of phase, mm-hmm. and really seeing the Catholic Church outside of my parents' parish here in suburban New Jersey, but the church at large, the goodness the church provides for the world, that kind of helped me really handle a lot of the trauma and past church hurt I had in the past as well. I want to say thank you first and foremost for making yourself available to express what you've noticed and observed in this world of church hurt. It's not an easy thing. And just be mindful of what people go through. And having that sense of compassion, that sense of empathy as they go through these things.
Yeah, this has been great. We'll see you guys next time. God bless.
In addition to producing this podcast, Array of Hope is also known for producing events such as retreats, missions, conferences, and concerts. If you'd like to learn more about what we offer, just go to our website and click on Experience. There you can see and learn all the various programs that we offer. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.